This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller here with you. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Don't forget, coming up, we'll be back in the schools thanks to our friends at CapEd Credit Union. In addition to that, join us at Chick-fil-A on Eagle Road Friday from 5 to 9 as we celebrate 5 years together and the Marconi Award for Broadcast Excellence. We go to Ron Paul Jim with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, I think I'm going to side with Alma here. And the reason why is because, you know, First Amendment extends to the right to redress grievances. And we, you know, have a constitution, despite the law that is, you know, performed at a local level. The constitution trumps all law. And we are forgetting some of these, you know, anytime you allow that, the constitutional freedoms to be discriminated against, we lose it for everybody. And another aspect of her concerns, remember she was recommending that neighboring properties, private property owners, get their water, their groundwater tested before, so you have a benchmark. If after your water is contaminated, you will have some you know, reference to expose it. This is about private property rights. Your rights extend below the surface of your property and above the ground. If there are people that are opposed to drones patrolling and taking photographs over your property, that might be a concern to those, you know, same people about what goes on below the ground. You know, our government is.
Well, what about what about Gary's point that nobody cares?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that would care if they understood, you know, from the constitutional principles argument. Maybe her argument is ignorant. Maybe.
Well, no, I mean, and again, Gary said that nobody cares.
Well, I think that's incorrect because I do, and it's based on the Constitution. What, you know, corporations have managed to, you know, sue people for stealing a signal that happens to broadcast over their own property.
Right.
You know, why shouldn't you be concerned about what happens in the property next door to you? And how it affects you when you've got a corporation who's, you know, can take you, you know, drag you out in court to infinitum and not have any rights whatsoever because their lawyers are, you know, can beat up your lawyers because you can't afford it.
Great point, Ron Paul Jim. Thank you for the call. Quickly to Victoria and Emmett at 580 KIDO.
Hi, I was calling. I was a little concerned about the issue that whether you're a conservative or a liberal, you know, she is invoking her right to not speak and for her to not even be processed as a person, to be denied her family to visit her. That issue, whether you are for or against or you're not sure about gas and oil, you know, she was in the court and she disrupted the meeting perhaps out of turn. She did not resist arrest. She stood there and stated her cause. But what happens to her after that is not okay. And I believe that if the ACLU, I'm not sure if they've taken the case, that's the issue. So whether you're Gary or, you know, you're not, if your rights are being violated, that's an issue. So it's what I was hearing from him is, if you support these particular issues or these particular causes, then you can be put on a list to have your constitutional rights violated. And that is not okay.
Well, Gary had a bias from working in the oil industry.
Well, you know, Alma has a bias for...
Well, he said nobody cares, and I find that shocking.
Oh, well, I would like to address that. Perhaps no one cares because they're drilling and there's seismic testing for gas and oil out in areas where the population density is low. If you, which you could, according to the Idaho law, you could go ahead at the Capitol in that park right in front, and you could drill, and you could drill for gas and oil right there. And I'm telling you right now, if you put it in a high-dense area, then you would see those numbers changing.
Victoria, don't be a stranger. Call again.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Joining us now is a young lady who the last time we were on the phone, she got a lot of reaction. Unfortunately, the phones went out. That rarely happens here. Suzanne Stone joining us, Defenders of Wildlife. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, we're dealing with fracking and an arrest of a woman, a mother, a grandmother, and a wife. So the wolves are running wild. What's the latest?
latest is our livestock are going home from our project area. We just had the trailing of the sheep this last weekend. And out of, 28,000 sheep in our project area, we only lost 2 to wolves this year.
Now, do you attribute that to the non-lethal actions that you're endorsing in dealing with the wolves instead of shooting them? You want to shoo them away? Or what type of non-lethal actions are you promoting?
There's a variety of things, but most of them are just pretty common sense. There are things like high-powered flashlights and air horns and, things that just make the wolf feel like there's a sense of risk around the livestock.
Now, you sound pretty tough. I'm a wimp, so I have to I have to ask you, I mean, is a high-powered flashlight really going to scare a wolf away?
Actually, it could be just about anything. I on my own with a band of sheep up in the Stanley Basin, I had a couple of wolves come in and test the band just to see, showing some interest in them, and I couldn't find my flashlight, so I ended up grabbing a pot and a wooden spoon and just chased them off with that. So, wolves are rightfully pretty timid of humans. And if they feel like there's a sense of risk, they're really pretty easy to manipulate and to frighten away.
Now, again, this is in reaction to Ketchum's proposal that passed a resolution requesting that the state use non-lethal tools, and we were talked about a little when we're talking about, Suzanne, talking about guard dogs, strobe lights, electric fencing over lethal tools such as aerial gunning, hunting, and trapping. What do you say to people that are livestock owners that have lost stock to wolves or they're worried about hunting elk?
Well, there's definitely methods that they should be considering, and unfortunately, the current system that we have, basically the federal government will come in and use the aerial gunning if a livestock owner has a complaint, and if they don't want to address it personally. But that, that puts the responsibility back onto the people, really, because we absorb all the cost for that, and it's millions of dollars that they spend annually providing that service. And you think of that about, what is the end goal? Is our objective to kill wolves, or is the objective to protect livestock, to reduce the number of livestock losses? And what we're showing with our project is that if the objective is to avoid livestock loss, there are better ways to do it, and they're cheaper. And yes, they might take a little bit more elbow grease. You might actually have to spend a little bit more time out there with the livestock, but in the end, it's a better method if you're trying to protect them.
And what has been the reaction in Ketchum and the surrounding communities?
We've had great support from the local area. And I think, at first people were very skeptical. They looked at these tools and they had the same kind of reaction that you did, and that, why would a wolf be afraid of this? And it's really about understanding the wolf's way of interpreting the world. I mean, they have a real good reason to be afraid of humans. We've wiped them out from pretty much across North America, at least in the lower 48 states for certain. And so, they're pretty timid about people. I mean, they would rather focus on wild prey when they can. But if you take a situation like the first thing that happened in Blaine County, where we had a wolf pack denning in an area in late spring. And then sheep were brought in, and they were released within not even a quarter mile away from where the sheep, where the wolves were denning. You know, we had a train wreck that occurred because of that. The wolves killed a guard dog. They killed a bunch of the sheep, and the rancher was, of course, upset. But the situation, you know, could have been avoided if we'd known where the wolves were, for one thing, and then secondly, just avoided that slightly. So that we didn't come right over the top of their den site with sheep, that whole situation might have been avoided. And pretty easily so. We've seen since then that if you do know, you know, the behavior of these wolf packs and keep them fairly stable, then you can predict year after year where they're going to be denning, and you can use that information to help better protect livestock. Unfortunately, our reliance right now is just going in and you know, shoot first, ask questions later. And unfortunately, that works against us if we're trying to protect livestock.
580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you'd like to talk to Suzanne about the wolf population. Now, you have Governor Otter looking at the Wolf Control Board, and he wants to drive down the wolf population. He's talked about it for quite some time, that the wolves, he says, are not native to Idaho and that they're a threat.
Oh, that's an old myth, I think, now that's been established in Idaho since the beginning of bringing the wolves back in. Unfortunately, you know, it's really not helpful because scientifically these are exactly the same wolves. Wolves have been here a lot longer than there's been a U.S.-Canadian border, for one thing, or a state of Idaho. They're native to the region, and we've had wolves that have walked on their own 4 feet from the areas where we captured them up in Canada and released them in Idaho and then walked back again, in one case, in less than a year. I mean, they're a wide-ranging species, and so these are definitely the same wolves that we would have had here in the area had people not wiped them out. And that's even up on the Idaho Fish and Game website if you'd like to take a look at that. That information is widely available.
Now, do you have an issue with people hunting wolves at all?
Well, you know, we have a problem with any species that we consider imperiled to be hunted. And in the state of Idaho, there are about 650 wolves, which sounds like a lot until you start comparing them to the fact that we have about 3,000 mountain lions, 20,000 black bears, there's close to 50,000 coyotes out there, and, 100,000 plus elk now, probably a quarter million deer. So the species that are hunted in Idaho are usually more robust and not in such low numbers as wolves are.
Well, what's the bigger threat, the coyotes or the wolves?
By far the coyotes. Every year, if we lose livestock to wolves, it's typically in the range of a couple hundred sheep or so. Every year we lose somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 sheep a year to coyotes. So there's really no comparison between the two. Wolves are a drop in the bucket compared to other causes of livestock mortality.
Well, Suzanne, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, if you want to sound off on the wolves, do you agree with the non-lethal means of dealing with the wolves, or are you more inclined to shoot first and ask questions later? 718, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm not going to give up on it. He's already said he's going to give up on it. I'm not giving up on it. The voters passed that when they adopted the Article 3, Section 28 of the Constitution of the State of Idaho in 2006. I took an oath of office to enforce that Constitution and defend it. I'm going to defend it.
This is just about decency. Governor Otter's is frozen in time in 2006. Frankly, I think the people of Idaho have moved along, and that's no longer an issue.
It's about answering the question that when someone's behavior offends our beliefs, we do not have the right to discriminate against them. This was about discrimination and how we treat people who believe and act differently than we do. I think it was foolish to waste money to fight the United States Constitution.
There we have it, the candidates last night from the televised debate going toe-to-toe on gay marriage. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580-KIDO. We'd love to hear what you thought. If you saw the debate or you just want to sound off on who won or who lost, please go to our website. click on the little slider there with the good-looking guy wearing the headset. Who won the governor's debate? Butch Otter, A.J. Belukov, Steve Pankey. Maybe you watch the Sons of Anarchy, or you miss The Voice. Right now at 580KIDO.com. Talking Wolves now, we go to Garrett in San Hollow. Garrett, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I just want to make a couple points about what the lady said. So there, coyotes absolutely do kill more sheep in the state of Idaho than wolves do. But a couple things to keep in mind is that sheep are pretty much of a pansy of an animal and doesn't take much to kill them. But when we look at elk numbers, moose numbers, cattle numbers, things like that, that number goes down. Another thing to keep in mind is that we kill more coyotes every year than the entire wolf population. So to say that they kill more, I mean, the coyote population absolutely dwarfs the wolf population. So that's not really an apples-to-apples comparison, but it gets thrown around a lot. Another point is that in one breath she was saying that wolves were here before there was a U.S. and Canadian border. But this application of the Endangered Species Act, especially with wolves and also what they're trying to do with grizzlies, it is completely defined by political boundaries. Like in the state of Idaho, they have this many. In Wyoming, they have this many. But what is were wolves in general as a species, were they in danger of becoming extinct or threatened? Absolutely not. So this was a complete misapplication of the Endangered Species Act from the beginning.
Well, I can't believe that a wolf would be scared off by a flashlight.
Well, they would. I mean, wolves are dogs. They're wild animals, but also they're dangerous. So it's just like a cougar or a black bear. I mean, you hear about mothers scaring them off of their kids and stuff like that, but then there's other times when they take down an adult. So I believe that those techniques can work. I come from a ranching family, and so some of those techniques can work, but the whole shoot first, ask questions later, which she disparaged, a high-powered rifle round heading towards them will do have a lot more of a deterrent effect than a flashlight. I mean, there's just no two bones about that. So.
Well, Garrett, anyway, thank you for the call, brother.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye. We go to O and Eagle with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, O.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream, brother.
Living the dream. I was, I'm a solutions guy, and I was listening to this conversation about Alma, and then I was listening to the conversation about the wolf deterrent. And I thought,
finally, news, opinion, solutions. I'm glad that's why we have you on.
Oh, no doubt about it. So here's my strategy. If Alma somehow is fortunate enough to avoid a life sentence for disrupting a meeting in Payette County, her new strategy, if she gets out, should be to scare away the frackers with a pan and a wooden spoon, perhaps a flashlight or two. What do you think?
That was pretty
good. Keep her out of jail, maybe.
That was pretty good.
I hate to think what they do for a serious violation up there, like a parking violation or something.
Well, and here's the deal, and you're starting to see the pro. And look, Gary, if you caught Gary's call, and Gary reminded me of my time in Pittsburgh where we had calls like that every day. It makes for a better show, and he's welcome to call back. Gary's point is, most folks in Idaho are down with the fracking. Alma is wrong with her stuff, and to quit making her into a martyr. My point of view is, man, if that were me or if that were my wife or somebody that I knew and we know Alma, I would be hoping that somebody would be raising awareness.
Yeah, it's overkill on their part. They're overreacting. I mean, all she did is disrupt a bureaucratic meeting. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that's what I don't get, that there's not an adult here. And look, I'm going to hit Alma with this. Okay, I think she's made her point. Admit who you are, get bailed out, and then start filing lawsuits from your home.
Exactly. It's the American way. Break out the lawyers. Alan Morton will be glad to hear that.
Right? Yeah. We have a lot of house counsels here. We have, of course, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. We have a gubernatorial candidate on staff here, Mr. Bujak, and of course, Chris Troupas. And I'm sure we have others. But you and I should go to law school, though.
I don't know if I have the patience for that, but I will see you on Friday.
Look forward to it, and bring some good material.
All right, I'll do my best.
Thank you, brother.
All right, take care.
All right, that young conservative, O. Scott on YouTube. Check him out today. When you see him on The Tonight Show, you'll go, I remember him. Coming up next, how will Idaho deal with Ebola? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Stopping this in its tracks.
A second case right here at the very same Dallas hospital. Another employee who came down with a fever.
The hospital in Dallas is now admitting they didn't follow federal protocol.
The passenger's temperature will be taken to test for any signs of a fever.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Do want to remind you at 580KIDO.com, we have our opinion poll, who won the governor's debate last night. Also, if you didn't get it, the city for the Tway Travel giveaway is Charlotte. The Tway Travel giveaway is Charlotte, and your second chance is during the Dave Ramsey Experience right here at 580KIDO. That is the Tway Travel Travel Giveaway, and today's city is Charlotte, North Carolina. So you go to 580KIDO.com, go into our loyalty program, and there you have it. Very self-explanatory there. Do want to thank our friends at Tway Travel for sponsoring the giveaway, where you can go anywhere in the continental United States and elsewhere. See the website for details. I book my travel when I go with George Tway. He does an excellent job. Ebola in the news. What about Idaho? Joining us now to discuss is Dr. Christine Hahn with the very latest. Dr. Hahn, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is this a rite of passage, or is this something that we should be more concerned about? A few years ago, it was West Nile. A few years ago, it was something else. And now Ebola has captured everybody's attention. Deaths piling up. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is something we do need to watch carefully. I think in Texas, they are going to get this under control. We just heard the bad news this morning that a second nurse in Texas is now confirmed to have Ebola. But they have quickly got her in isolation within 90 minutes of her fever going up. I think Texas has now got this in hand. Nonetheless, we need to watch this carefully, and it's certainly not over yet.
You know, most of us, when we go to the hospital, we think that the doctors and the nurses, their knowledge is absolute, but they are human. They do make mistakes. Were you surprised that we've got healthcare workers in this country contracting Ebola?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. Our healthcare professionals, our nurses, are so knowledgeable, and our folks in the hospital are doing everything they can to protect themselves. But Ebola is new, and it is different. So we don't have that type of experience that we have now gained from years and years of working with, you know, our bugs that we're used to, flu and, you know, staph and strep and the organisms that we're used to dealing with. This is different, and we have a sharp learning curve, but I'm confident we will get there very, very quickly.
Well, are you concerned about, just again, the CDC and these teams? Now, apparently, they're going to send another team to Texas to help this hospital to deal with Ebola. And, you know, again, as you said, we're learning on the fly here, which is okay if you're in college, but not so great if you're dealing with a deadly disease.
You're right. This is not where any of us would want to be. That is for sure. And Dr. Frieden, the director of the CDC, said as much yesterday in his press conference. He said, I wish we had sent that team right away to assist the hospital. I think what I'm hoping, of course, is that Texas is the only place we have to learn these lessons, and that I can tell you those of us in Idaho, including myself, people at the hospitals here, I'm talking with them every day. They are watching this very carefully. They are ordering supplies. They are training up. I think we have a ways to go, but I think we will be in a better position than Texas was because we have the advantage of learning from what's happening there.
Right. Always the second time around or the second coat of paint is better than the first. But Dr. Hahn, for people that, you know, were focused on the Broncos, were focused on the debate last night, and maybe we have to get on a plane, we're worried about kids in school, how does this virus work, ma'am?
Yeah, this virus is something that we are learning a lot about. But what we know about this virus is it can spread bloodborne. So we think about things like hepatitis or HIV that we all know you can get from a needle stick. So we've learned how to prevent those, infections in the community. We know that it's okay to hug somebody or shake their hand. That's not the problem. It's needle stick. It's really close contact.
this virus is different, as I mentioned, because it can be excreted in sweat and urine and saliva and things that we're not used to thinking about with a bloodborne disease. But fortunately for those of us in Idaho, the good news is we don't have Ebola here. Right now, all we need to do is keep an ear to the news. I appreciate your efforts and other efforts to educate the public. Right now, our healthcare workers are the ones that are getting on the ball now to catch up, to watch what's happening in Texas and get ready so that if we ever have somebody get off the plane, we are ready to handle this and we don't have to worry about our kids in school or getting on an airplane.
Now, and again, I'm not an epidemiologist, and I can't even pronounce the word, but I got to hit you with this one. I was watching a news report, and the differences between AIDS and HIV and Ebola is the amount of, particles or something in the blood. There's a lot more, millions or billions, compared to just millions or thousands in the blood of HIV and AIDS patients. That's how, it spreads so quickly.
Yeah, I think, again, it's something we're just learning about, this Ebola virus. They are looking at the amount of the virus that's in the blood. Again, I think for most people, what they worry about, like family members in what we're seeing in Africa, is that it's actually, in the vomit and the sweat and just that things that people get exposed to. Not so much necessarily the blood. It's in all these other secretions and fluids, and that's why it's so important that people get into hospital in isolation right away. And that's what, as you saw, they're doing in Texas. 90 minutes, that's got to be some record to get people immediately isolated into proper care so that they don't expose other people.
Is there a difference between, I have a fever, the regular flu, and the Ebola flu or the Ebola fever?
Not really. That's why it got missed in Texas, frankly. The symptoms aren't specific. Nobody's going to walk in and a physical exam or a quick look is not going to tell you what the person has. They might have the regular, some type of influenza virus. If they just have fever and a headache, they might have a stomach situation. There's no way to tell just by a quick. It's really just a specialized testing that'll tell you.
We talk about Ebola and others, Dr. Hahn, here at 580KIDO, but, we also have two folks in Idaho that have recently died of the flu.
Right, exactly. We want to stay informed. Ebola is new. We want to stay informed about it, but we have already had two people die of influenza. Flu season is starting, and we are trying to remind people that here's a disease you can do something about. I had my shots just last weekend with my kiddos. We all traipsed down. They actually get the spray now. They love it because it's not even a shot.
You make it sound like fun.
Yeah, we all go and then we go to lunch, so we make it a day. But please don't forget that here's a disease you can do something about that also can be deadly.
Now, there's another disease going on concerning young children, and I know a lot of parents listening at 580KIDO are concerned about this virus that's name I can't even pronounce.
Mm-hmm. The enterovirus, and the full name is enterovirus D68. This is another concern. It really seems like it's a lot of viruses that we're thinking about these days. Enterovirus, we know we have it in Idaho. It's a respiratory virus, and it's something that we know has been circulating in the United States for a long time. They've been tracking this virus for many years. But for some reason that we don't understand, it seems to have increased this year. The good news is what I'm hearing talking to doctors in Idaho is they think that it is declining. So we're hopeful that this is going to fade away for this year. But this is a disease that I'm sure there's a lot of interest now and hopefully eventually we'll have a vaccine for this. For right now, parents need to just be aware, especially if your child has asthma, continue to really keep them safe as best you can. Get their flu shot for them. Keep them as healthy as possible. Teach them to wash their hands and stay away from others who are sick.
Dr. Hahn, what about this Ebola thing? Do you use hand sanitizer? Do you, and you know this, we've got two things here. We've got churches and gyms. A lot of people work out. Should they bring a towel? To wipe off the sweat and that sort of thing? People wonder.
I think for a lot of good reasons, that's a good idea. You know, when I go to the gym, I'm pretty careful. I carry my little towel around with me and lay it down on the mat. But it's not so much certainly worrying about Ebola. I'm worried about staph, you know, and other common bugs that can sometimes be spread in those kinds of settings. So, yeah, I think people should have their wipes with them. A lot of gyms supply those now for you. And I always shower on my way out, you know, if I can, and, you know, wash my hands, that kind of thing.
Are there any tips like diet or exercise or anything that we should look at? I don't know your thoughts on vitamins as far as decreasing the probability of getting sick.
Yeah, well, I think what you mentioned for all these diseases we're talking about, whether you're talking about flu, enterovirus, we know that the healthier you are, the better you can fight off diseases. So exercise, good diet, you know, not smoking, all those things are going to make it, you sail through most of these illnesses much, much better than if your health is in poor condition. So I think it's all good. You know, I don't propose, you know, any specific high dose vitamins or anything, but certainly taking a daily vitamin and making sure that you're eating those vitamins in your food, which is probably even more important, is a really good idea, especially during, you know, cold and flu season.
Do you expect Ebola to come to Idaho?
You know, I wouldn't say I expect it, but it won't be a surprise if someday we have someone get off a plane. We have travelers every day from, you know, all parts of the world. It won't be a surprise if someday we see something. I hope that this outbreak in Africa gets put under control and we won't ever see a case, but it won't be a surprise if it does. And I'm really happy to see the hospitals preparing for this just in case.
You believe we're ready for it as much as we can be?
You know, I think today we still have a ways to go. But I can tell you the hospitals are, as we speak, very actively getting ready. They know they need to be ready. They're watching the situation in Texas very closely, and nobody wants that to happen here with getting healthcare workers exposed.
Dr. Hahn, I know you're busy, but we'd love to have you back, maybe even next week. That'd be huge.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, ma'am. You have a good day.
Sure, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Dr. Christine Hahn joining us about Ebola. She says, don't be surprised, but the hospitals here are, in fact, doing what they can to prepare. A man who will be one of our great contributors that will be honored Friday at Chick-fil-A with a chicken biscuit from yours truly, Jim from Star joins us at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
If it's a chicken biscuit, I want some buffalo sauce on it, too.
Well, there you have it.
That's how I roll over there at Chick-fil-A.
If you're a good boy, perhaps.
Hey, you know, as I'm listening to this doctor talk about, well, you know, I hope it doesn't come here, but it could, and I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, there's other issues that we have that have come into this country that we're taking on, and we're gearing up for it, Kevin, and we're going to make sure our hospitals have the right equipment and the CDC's there to help. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I mean, it's real simple. None of these medical illnesses, Kevin, should be an issue for us in the first place, right? Right?
Yes, Timmy.
Right. I mean, if we just secured our borders like we're supposed to.
Look, we're the ones that, we cured polio.
Right. We eradicated polio here. And for people who are, you know, too young to know, polio was horrific. You talk to older people that remember it and you read about it and how debilitating it was and what a terrible way to go.
Ask Roosevelt.
Oh, man, Kevin, it's just so ugly that we as a society have become so, like your favorite quote, check out Charlie, your favorite phrase rather, everyone is so checked out that this is a problem that we shouldn't even have to participate in. There's no reason why a country like ours should have to even think about Ebola because we should have ourselves protected, but the people who are leading us and the people who are making decisions just they have their heads so far in the sand, it's crazy. And to think also, Kevin, what just makes me sick is, well, the government's going to make sure everything's right and the CDC is going to take care of it. The government is failing us daily, in and out, in all different segments, and military included. And we're supposed to lean on them and think they're going to protect us. This is just one of those other things, Kevin, where it makes you lose hope and it makes you just go, What are we doing? What are we doing? And I just wish someone had some answers that had some power, because the people like you and me, what can we really do?
We can be at Chick-fil-A on Friday.
That's a good point. We can be at Chick-fil-A on Friday, and maybe we'll just quarantine that area, and we'll just keep the K-Milly militia safe from everything else.
See you, Jim.
Right, see ya.
All right. Let's get you to traffic at 580-KIDO.
Alex Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't be shy. Make sure you go to 580KIDO.com. Tell us who won the debate last night. Belukov, Pankey, the Sons of Anarchy, The Voice, or The Governor. We'll share those results with you in a couple days. And coming up next, the return of Phil Hardy. That's right. Phil Hardy returns to the broadcast center. Always promises to be a pugnacious time. First, Fox News on the radio at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave. 7:59. Did you watch the debate last night? Sorry you didn't. But you still have an opinion on who's going to be the next governor of the state of Idaho. Did we really need 40 minutes on education? 40 flipping minutes on education. Did we learn anything? We'll find out next from Phil Hardy. And more on Alma the Anti-Fracker. More on the big gay marriage celebration today. Are you down with it? I want to hear from you. Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Emma.